Coming up on today's edition of Locked On Eagles, we've got 2 days until the Eagles take on Doug Peterson and the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday. We take one final look with our LOE3, three bets, player props that we want to get you some money on at Lincoln Financial Field on Sunday. Plus, the quarterbacks of the offense and defense, Jalen Hurts and TJ Edwards, they are breaking out. How do these two underdogs get to where they are now? All that and more on this Friday edition of Locked On Eagles.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We thank you so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Welcoming Eagles fans to a Friday edition of the show. This episode is brought to you by Brightco Jewelry and Watch Insurance. Brightco brings you comprehensive, fast, and affordable jewelry insurance for as low as $5 per month. Check out your special offer for Locked On listeners and get covered in under 2 minutes at bright.co/lockedon. That's bright.co/lockedon. He's Gino Camilleri. I'm Lou DiBiase. We've got Eagles Jaguars on Sunday at 1 p.m. It's going to be my first regular season game I've been to at the Link in person since 2017. So it's going to be exciting. And Gino, the Eagles are trying to remain the first or the only undefeated team left in the NFL at 4-0 with the Miami Dolphins losing on Thursday night.
How funny is it that both our last games in Lincoln Financial Field was the Super Bowl year? I went to the Bears game that year as well. That's so funny that you said that. I was sitting on the couch yesterday with my fiance and I said, man, we got to get to the Link. It's been way too long.
This year especially, it's buzzing, man.
We were in Buffalo in 2019. We were in Denver last year. Nothing is like Lincoln Financial Field. And the environment for the last remaining undefeated team in the NFL for the first time, thanks to our good friend Ruben Frank over at NBC Sports, since week 7 of 2004, that was the last time the Eagles were the last undefeated team.
And that was the last season, by the way, they started 4-0 was 2004.
This is a culmination of what it's going to take to get to that next level, that 4-0. And why is that? Jacksonville, an up-and-coming team, coming in with a bright young quarterback, a rejuvenated offense, a defense that just seems to be much more explosive. But the big thing, the big storyline, this is like the Conor McGregor, Khabib Nurmagomedov fight to me. It's like Doug Peterson's coming back. Nick Sirianni, there might not be bad blood, but you know deep down – Doug Peterson wants to win this game.
And Sirianni, they got a statue outside of the coach on the other side.
I know that he has to walk back past every single day. If you don't think that both teams are going to play hard with a lot of emotional value added to this game, you should be tied in. And I know this isn't going to be a nationally televised game, but the people involved, the Jacksonville fans, the Eagles fans, there's a lot on the line. Jacksonville fans truly believe that their team is ready to take that next step. And if you look at what has happened on the field, it's hard to argue otherwise.
It looks real, Gino. I mean, they're 2-1. Looking at the AFC South, too, I respect this team. I don't think the Colts are better than them right now. I don't think the Titans are better than them. Houston certainly isn't. Doug has that team playing really good football. Mm-hmm. They beat a really good Chargers team last week. This is definitely going to be a tough test, but the Eagles are as hot as any team in football right now. They are the hottest team in the NFL. Gino, what's not so hot, though, is me and you and these LOE3 bets this year and taking a look at our record and what our three player props we have for our listeners this week each. We're 3-6 each on the season. I went 1-2 last week. You went 0-3. We're struggling while the Eagles are not. So I guess
if that's the toll we have to pay, if that's the price we have to pay going through the Pennsylvania or Jersey Turnpike, you throw your money in there, you got your easy pass, whatever it is. If that's what we have to pay every single week for the Eagles to get a win, man, I'll be the Camilleri Jinx until the day I die.
Our listeners might be paying for it too. So
like I always say, it's a marathon, not a sprint, especially with player props. Last week we were close on a couple of them. Didn't get there, but this week against Jacksonville, I think our good friend over at Locked On Jags, Tony Wiggins, gave us some good inside information. And I think to start, both of us betting Goddard again, this is a matchup where Jacksonville has had a tough time defending tight ends. Dallas Goedert didn't have the best game of his career last week, even though he did have that touchdown. It wasn't a true Dallas Goedert game. he's going to get back on track. It might have been a tougher matchup last week. This week, it's going to be much easier for him.
For sure. LOE3 presented by the official sportsbook of the Locked On Podcast Network, Bet Online. Gino and I have three player props for you all to cash in on this week each. And we both have a Dallas Goedert bet, as he mentioned. Gino, you have Goedert over 40.5 receiving yards. I have Goedert over 3.5 receptions. And I feel like it's about time. You know, Goddard's been doing a lot with a little the first 3 weeks of the season. Two of the three games, he only has three catches. So I get where this line, why this line is at where it is. But eventually, Goddard's going to get way more involved. He's been so efficient, and I think they're going to try to get him involved more against the Jaguars for sure. I think this is a really good run defense. Try to get some play action going, getting Goedert in space. You know, I mentioned he's been the DeSean Jackson of tight ends because every catch, it feels like he takes 10-plus yards, but the volume hopefully will increase as the season goes on. He's too good to be touching the ball only three times a game. So I'm going to hit the over there.
And if you look at Washington's game plan last week, it was loading up the box a lot and trying to keep things within that intermediate to short area. They came up and tackled really well last week. Not many explosive plays for Sanders, not many explosive plays for Hurts on the ground. That area where Goddard really does work well is when right. He could get into open space in those shallow to intermediates, and then he gets the yards after the catch. I think this week it'll be much more open for him. I don't know if Jacksonville has the horses on defense that Washington had last week, and they always play up to Philadelphia. We know that in the NFC East, but Jacksonville, you can't look past this new and reinvigorated defense. Devin Lloyd is playing hot as a rookie linebacker. Trevon Walker is going to pressure you up front. You got Andre Sisco back there now, who's finally seen his benefits pay off at safety. But Dallas Goedert is still a top two tight end in the National Football
League. Tony Gonzalez on Thursday Night Football said he's the best tight end in football right now.
I mean, you can make the argument with Kelce, and he's that focal point of that offense. Now they're kind of clamping down on him a little bit more. Kittle's still coming back off that injury. Goedert has just been a very effective piece. He was injured last week with, I believe it was a shin injury during that game. He missed some time. Yeah. If he's on the field all four quarters, all the snaps that you want him to be, I think this is a game where you're going to rely on him. I think you want to dominate the middle of the field so you can open up the pass game outside for the receivers. Jacksonville's corners have been playing very well the past couple weeks. Dominate the middle of the field this week and really get that part going so you can then open it up and make it easier for Jalen, where he's not having to complete these insane passes on the sideline to Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown.
And then, Gino, we have one bet we both agree on. We both have Jalen Hurts over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Yes,
how can you not Sunday. At this point, man?
Yeah, I mean, last week was his first multi-passing touchdown performance of the season, having three against the Commanders. But you look at the Jaguars, you look at, yes, they're the number one rushing defense, surprisingly so right now in the NFL. But they're a middle-of-the-road passing defense. Justin Herbert put up numbers on them last week. You saw Carson Wentz, his only good game of the season. Week one, he was able to surpass 300 passing yards and four touchdowns in a win. Jalen right now looks like the best quarterback in football, which is crazy to say, but it's true. So I think he's going to have over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Also, keep in mind, Shaquille Griffith, one of the Jaguars starting corners, was limited in practice this week. He missed last game. So Tyson Campbell's good. Loved his game coming out of Georgia, but they're pretty thin right now. It looks like a corner.
What Philadelphia possesses on offense is the ability to win matchups, and how they do it. It is motion. They didn't do as much motion as they did in the first 2 weeks last week. I think they get more going that way. You want to try and get A.J. Brown out on an island. You'd love to get Goddard out on an island. And Jalen Hurts, really, he just has to continue being himself. If he doesn't turn the ball over, he will put this team in a position to capitalize on at least two to three situations in the red zone where he can get a passing touchdown. Right. The way he's been throwing the deep ball, Quez Watkins could be sure he could have another big game and have one catch for 54 yards and another big touchdown. I wouldn't even be surprised.
And that was my other bet for LOE3 was a parlay of overs for Devontae Smith and Quez Watkins. The over on receiving yards for Smith is at 54.5, and Quez is only at 15.5. Gino, he could get that in one touch. And I know why that line is where it is, because Quez in two of three games has no catches. But last week, if it wasn't for two pass interferences that he drew for 40 yards, he could have had two huge plays. And again, with Quez, is he ever going to get the volume that Devontae Smith got last week or A.J. Brown did week one against Detroit. No, not with that big three in front of him, not with this running game as well. But with Quez, 15 and a half receiving yards, he's not going to be in the goose egg of the box score every week. So I'm going to hammer that over and combine the two. Smith right now might be the hottest receiver in football.
I mean, it's tough to argue outside of your logic on that one. Devontae Smith, out of the slot especially, is so efficient, man.
Yeah.
He cannot be stopped even when you bracket him. He's in double coverage, goes up, makes a Moss-esque catch multiple times in that game. And the thing with Watkins is those were egregious pass interferences where if he gets by him, he's scoring a touchdown.
Yeah. Right.
He was by him and they had to. It's not like college where you only get 15, but excuse me, that's better than seeing Quez break out like he did week two with that long bomb. And like you said, he's not going to be a goose egg every single week. And he's too explosive not to want to throw to, because either one, he's going to catch the ball for a touchdown, or two, he's going to use his 4.3 speed and do what he did last week, where against a team that was down one of their top cornerbacks, they had to put in Rashad Wild Goose. You saw how they wanted to capitalize on that. So if Griffin is out, you have to go and move everybody up one, and best of luck defending the fourth, fifth weapon on this team.
Gino, your last bet here, largest lead under 16 and a half points.
I said this to Tony on our crossover show yesterday. The line is 6.5 points over at Bet Online. I think Jacksonville covers. I think it's going to be close. I don't see it being a blowout either way. I think the emotion on both sides is going to be too heavy. It's going to be a hard-fought game. Both of these teams in the last couple weeks have been surefire tackling teams. They've both been around the football. Their offenses have been performing at a good rate. Even if Philly does get out to, let's say, a 10-point lead, I think Jacksonville comes back and they're going to put up points too. I don't think it's going to be a shutout or even allow Jacksonville to be the team they were a couple of years ago. It's going to be a tougher test. I think Jacksonville holds it with inside that number of 6.5. If it's 21-17 to end, 24-20, like, that wouldn't shock me at all with how good both of these defenses have been performing. Neither team is going to get a blowout. They're both good. They're both fighting for position in their respective divisions. But the thing I said, Lou, without those bets and just walking away and looking at the grand scheme of what this game is, if you were going to go into a trap game as Philadelphia, where this should be a trap game for the Jags after coming off of that big win for the Chargers, but let's reverse it. You're going against an AFC opponent for the first time. You just won three NFC games. You won an NFC East game. If you were going to drop a game before this next stretch where you go against Arizona, Dallas, and then you hit your bye,
right,
this would be the one that, in the grand scheme of things, if you're going to drop it, this one would have the least effect on the end of the year results.
And again, the Doug Peterson factor, the Jaguars are not a fluke either. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be a tougher matchup. But hopefully Gino and I can do better for you guys this week.
LOE 3.
You can make those bets at the official sportsbook of the Lockdown Podcast Network, Bet Online. Guys, a shout out to another one of our sponsors of today's show, and it's Brightco. Engagements are a big deal. Guys always want to get it right with the right ring and the right place to do it. My best friends got engaged at our lake house we go to every summer. My brother got engaged in Sedona, Arizona. While many can get ambitious with the setting, it does come with more risks towards that ring. Could you imagine if my friend dropped the ring in a 400-foot deep lake, or if my brother dropped the ring down a giant mountain? You don't want to be that guy. If you are, though, our friends at Brightco will get you a replacement for the full value of your last ring, no matter if it's lost, stolen, or you just don't know what happened to it. Go to Brightco.com/lockdown. It's the fastest, easiest, and cheapest way to cover yourself. These guys at Brightco are geniuses. They made covering your ring, watch, or whatever so easy you can get covered in 2 minutes over the phone. You won't find a better deal on great coverage that is super affordable. Go to Bright.co/lockdown. Again, that's Bright.co/lockdown. I'm Louis DiBiase. He's Gino Camilleri. This is your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Locked On Eagles, a Friday edition of the show. We've got Eagles-Jaguars Sunday at 1 o'clock at Lincoln Financial Field. The Eagles trying to get to 4-0 for the first time since 2004, and they're trying to remain the only undefeated team in the NFL after the Miami Dolphins lost to the Cincinnati Bengals on Thursday night. And Gino, it's really, there's so many incredible stories about this Eagles team and how dominant they look. And we kind of mentioned it in Stock Up, Stock Down on Tuesday. You know, there, you could talk about every – we wanted to mention every player on the roster, because outside of special teams, everybody has been a key reason that they're 3-0. But two of the most incredible stories have to do with the two quarterbacks of this team, the quarterback of the offense, Jalen Hurts, and the quarterback of the defense in TJ Edwards. These two are breaking out. Jalen Hurts won NFC Player of the Month yesterday. He's an early MVP favorite. He's PFF's number one graded passer through 3 weeks. TJ Edwards, in his own right, the second highest graded PFF linebacker, coming off, I think, the best game of his career in Washington. He was all over the place. He's the every down linebacker that we didn't think he could be. Jalen Hurts is the high volume passer that we didn't think he could be. And some might say, speak for yourself. Some did believe in both of these guys, but let's be honest, even the Eagles didn't fully believe. They always knew Hurts and Edwards were reliable for a certain role, special teamers, high-end backup quarterback. But even this organization prepared others to have the roles Hurts and Edwards do. I mean, at quarterback, Wentz, they were interested in moving up for Zach Wilson. They, you know, took feelers on Russell Wilson and maybe even Deshaun Watson. At linebacker, it was LJ Fort, Zach Brown, Jatavis Brown, Eric Wilson, Alex Singleton. But, you know, sometimes it's as cliche as it sounds, hard work really does pay off. And these two just outworked everybody and met a ceiling that I don't think that many thought they could get to.
I think we take for granted as this organization how good they are at developing players, developing traits, let's say. You look at Jordan Mailata, for example, right? How many teams take that flyer? How many teams are willing and trust their coaching staff to even go out and do that? Quez Watkins, for example, raw, coming out of Southern Miss. I mean, breaks all Todd Pinkston's records, but what really is he? All of a sudden, he turns into this wide receiver that looks like he could be a true number three moving forward and developed into that role. You look at defense, Avante Maddox, they moved him all around, and then they finally found his role at slot and developed into who he is. Same could be said about TJ Edwards. Same could be said about Marcus Epps, Jalen Hurts. The list goes on and on. But sure, TJ Edwards, for example, I want to say that this is what makes scouting and watching film so difficult in projection, because TJ Edwards coming out of school, he's a two down backer, going to come up and stop the run, but can he cover?
Could that's the difference, the you know, like years? Jordan Mailata is one of the most athletic athletes we've ever seen. And some of these guys have more talent. Hurts and Edwards had to outwork all of these players that had more talent and potentially higher ceilings. And that you're right. That's what makes the evaluation process harder. And it's not to say these guys don't have any talent, but they have this Kobe Bryant Mamba mentality, like work ethic everywhere, the film room, on the field, the gym. And it's part of, it's maybe the main reason. And sometimes work ethic, I roll my eyes at it because I'm like, what are you hiding when you say the first positive thing about a player is work ethic? But its value shouldn't be overlooked, especially with these two.
And especially in Philadelphia, and you've seen what work ethic can do. They'll trust you if you're a first-round draft pick, if you're an undrafted free agent, if you're just somebody they find out of a Australian rules football or rugby league, and that they're willing to put in the time and the investment. And that's why TJ Edwards is such an awesome story, because you could have just said, all right, this guy's a special teamer for life. We're not going to try and develop him. We're not going to get him snaps, but somebody saw something. Somebody saw that he could develop, and he's gotten better in coverage, and he's gotten smarter as a player, and he doesn't miss tackles. And like you said, that hard work element in this city, Lou, we should value it higher, because the guys that don't work, they separate themselves in a bad light. But the guys that work their rear ends off, guys that come into Philly, go to NovaCare, they're doing the things on the field, they're doing the things off the field, week in and week out. That's what the fans want to see. That's what they want to support. Like you and I have said, when we do these 53-man roster projections, you can't keep TJ Edwards off of the roster simply because of how good he is as a worker, how good he is as a leader, how good he is in
tackling. How many times have I personally tried to replace Edwards as an every down linebacker?
Absolutely.
I mean, personally, I'm like, yeah, is he reliable? Is he good? Yes, but is he ever going to be great? I just can't see it. And that's not to say that every player that works hard is going to do what Jalen Hurts is doing or TJ Edwards. You have to have talent at this level. That's what you have to prioritize. And you would hope most players have a strong work ethic, but for these two, it's a special different kind. You know what I mean? It just, it feels different. And again, the Eagles themselves didn't think either one were going to do this. They believed in them to a certain floor, but they always questioned the ceiling. And it's just like, yeah, as you mentioned, and as we mentioned, all these linebackers they tried to put ahead of Edwards, he beat out all of them to the point now mm-hmm. where we're like, next year, he's a free agent and Kazir White's a free agent. N'Kobe Dean, they just took in the third round. They probably are going to pay Edwards before they pay White.
Yeah, they like to take care of their own, that's for sure. And if you go back to the extension that TJ Edwards signed, that was a very minimal deal.
It was super team friendly.
Just north of like whatever a veteran minimum would be. Yeah. And that was, to me, the indicator of if he develops, he's going to get extended. And if not, they can get out. He has developed beyond my wildest imagination. What he's able to do in coverage, as I've said time and time again, the guy hasn't missed a tackle since Vietnam. Whoever, it's going to be great to see who misses a tackle in TJ Edwards or who lets up a sack in Lane Johnson first, because neither of those two things have happened. And when we go to the grand scheme of what football is, it's hard work and it's tackling and blocking. And
which
TJ
is true.
Edwards,
maybe, Gino, we just overlook it because of the cheesiness of maybe the theatrics.
It is corny.
So many movies have used this Rudy and Friday Night Lights. And, you know, you tend to roll your eyes at that part of it. But it does come from a real source. And Edwards and Hurts show that. You know, it is a real thing.
It is, man. And you listen to the greats. And they, I think these documentaries that have come out about Michael Jordan, Derek Jeter, for example, they all kind of just speak that same thing. And I think Kobe, who was the best at doing it, he has a great speech that I listen to time and time again, where he's saying, oh, you get up at 10, you go work out, you rest your body, you go work out at 2, you rest your body, you eat, you get 2 training sessions in. I'll wake up at 3, train at 4, rest my body, train at 8, rest my body, train at 2. Like, those guys will just outwork you. And sometimes when work ethic meets athletic ability, meets football IQ, that's where it all comes together. TJ Edwards, Jalen Hurts, they fit all three of those things. They're smart football players. They'll outwork you on and off the field. And above everything else, they have tuned into the fundamentals. Jalen Hurts has gone from a guy who's just an athlete playing quarterback to somebody that is truly revolutionizing what we have seen at quarterback in Philly. Even when Wentz was here, we're still saying, like, can this guy maneuver the pocket? Can he hit throws with accuracy all the time? Jalen Hurts is doing things that we have wanted to see. And when you boil it down, Lou, what is it? It's fundamental football. What if we wanted at a linebacker? Fundamental football, somebody that could do the fundamentals really well. And is that corny as it sounds? That's what it comes down to. Football is an overcomplicated science that if you boil it down, there's just 3 or 4 really big anchors that you could look at to figure out if somebody's going to be successful. And the recipe kind of speaks for itself. If you're in a solid headspace and you have solid football IQ, you understand the game on and off the field, you work hard week in and week out, and you continue to perfect your craft and want to get better, the moment you see comfort, the moment you see people not getting better, that's where they lose. You haven't Jalen seen either of this guy not get better in their last 3 years.
Right, and Jalen has said that himself, always raising the standard, and it's led to an incredible story with Hurts and Edwards totally breaking out in 2022, and both were good in 2021, but they've taken a step that maybe the organization that took them even didn't think they could get to. Gino, to wrap up today's edition of Locked on Eagles, I want to get into what Hurts and this offense are doing. It is truly historic for 3 weeks of the season, and we've compared it to the 2017 offense and 2010. And we talked about so many things that Hurts has checked off the list, right? The accuracy, the pocket presence, the efficiency with more volume. And we've mentioned this, but not with like specific numbers. One other part of this that has been huge is the explosive plays that this offense is bringing. And that was something that was missing for years from 2018 to 2020. Gino, they were 26th in explosive plays in 2018, 22nd in 2019, and 22nd again in 2020. They were second last year. They're second through 3 weeks this year. Hurts is the second most efficient passer on throws 15 plus yards downfield. AJ Brown is the second most receptions going for over 15 yards. They pushed so hard for this in 2020 by trying to just bring in speed. But now they just have great players on offense. And I think any kind of player can make plays down the field. And that's what's happening. And it's been a missing piece of this offense really since the Super Bowl year, where they were seventh overall in explosive plays. And that's great to see with, by the way, no mistakes. It's all the explosion and none of the turnovers.
One talking point that we haven't mentioned in a couple of years is the building of playmakers through the identity of a basketball team. And they kind of got away from that for a little bit, right? They brought everybody in that's fast, and they had one identity.
Yeah, I think Daniel Jeremiah said that they were trying to build a track team in 2020.
Exactly. And you can have a track team. Trust me, track data is instrumental in finding out who could be athletic in football. But look at their playmakers, Lou. You got your center in Dallas Goedert, who's going to go up above the rim, get anything that's a 50-50 ball. You got your power forward, your number four in A.J. Brown. You have your number three, your true can do it all type of guy in Devontae Smith. You have your shooting guard, or in right now, either Miles Sanders or Quez Watkins, whoever you want to put there.
J.R. Smith, to make a Cavaliers reference.
Exactly.
Randomly hit eight straight threes. Yeah.
And then Jalen Hurts is playing like that Derrick Rose season, where it's like, this guy's the best basketball player of all time. And now you're looking at Jalen Hurts saying, like, this quarterback is something we haven't seen in forever. And how they're doing it is building in multiple different areas through multiple different skill sets that all complement each other and complement your quarterback. With that team in 2020, Lou, with Carson Wentz, he was pressing too much down the field. So that kind of hindered him, I would say, where he relied too much on trying to get this ball down the field to these deep receivers. And it's like, hey, sometimes we could go back to that slow plotting offense and it could work. But when you are limited and you're hamstrung and you're like 18 and 19, where you're sub 20th place in explosive plays, you have to change that up. And you've seen it now. They're still doing the 12 personnel stuff. They're still running big, heavy sets, but they're doing it in a way that opens up the rest of the game plan for
exactly.
them. Where it's not a death by a thousand cuts now, Lou. They might cut you one or two times, jab, jab, but they're going to hit you like Mike Tyson after a couple jabs, man. They're coming with that haymaker, the pass to Smith down the field, the pass to A.J. Brown, the tight end screen to Dallas Goedert.
Quez week two against Minnesota. Yeah, that's the thing, Gino, is they're still doing that where death by a thousand paper cuts. They've had multiple 80-plus yard touchdown drives this year, especially because the special teams unit setting them up to fail when it comes to field position. But that's what they had to do in 2018 and 2019 and 2020, was drive the length of the field, because they didn't have these chunk plays that they're getting now. And they're getting it, as you mentioned, I love the NBA comparison, because they're doing it in so many different ways. Like, A.J. Brown is the physicality down the field. Devontae Smith's doing it with...
He's like Dennis Rodman, if you think about it.
Yeah, and Smith is doing it with technique and footwork. And you do have the pure speed element with Quez Watkins, and you have the run after the catch tight end and Goddard. And that's just, it's such an advantage, because when you have a team like that, like you had in 2010, that one play can make up 40 to 50 yards. It's a huge advantage, especially considering you're not getting that element from your kickoff return team or punt return. The offense is making up for that too, in a way, if you think about it.
Yeah, they're not getting good field position outside of the couple that they've gotten from the defense, putting them in good positions a lot of the time. They're starting even behind the 20-yard line, and they are manufacturing these long, just tumultuous drives that tire down the defense. But at the same time, Lou, they turn around, they have a minute and 15 second drive where the first play is a run to set up the play action to Quez Watkins. They're multiple. Nick Sirianni preaches multiplicity, being able to do things in multiple different areas, because once a team can hone in and figure out who you are, you get the results of 18, 19, and 20. That everybody knew what the Eagles were after the Super Bowl year. They're an RPO team. If they don't have explosion, they're going to hit their guys that can make catches, which turned into a Zach Ertz 100-plus catch year, and you didn't have anybody that could get down the football field.
And they tried. I mean, they certainly tried with
Bryce
Wallace,
DeSean Jackson, Mike Wallace go down the list. Yeah,
and Quez Watkins, they drafted at the time. Marquise Goodwin, they traded for. Jalen Reagor. It just, none of it worked. And
Torrey Smith was the best out of them all,
Smith,
which is crazy.
Which is insane. But it's worked now, and you got to mention the running game too. The explosive plays are coming. You have the best home run hitter maybe at running back in Miles Sanders, and we know the chunk yardage Jalen Hurts can get you with any run that he has over the line of scrimmage. So I just think that's been a huge element to the team's success this year. And there's been so many, but that's one we haven't talked about as much which has been super impressive. And some teams, Gino, they like to push the envelope like this, but sometimes it leads to mistakes. The Eagles are playing pretty much mistake-free football. And that's great to see. We'll see what happens, though, this Sunday. They got a big test against the 2-1 Jacksonville Jaguars. Doug Peterson comes back. I know Eagles fans aren't going to do it, but don't boo them. Standing Please ovation. Don't. I'll be there doing it. Hats coming off. The guy's got a statue outside the building for a reason. And we'll see you after the game on Sunday, hopefully recapping another win for the Eagles to get to 4-0. You can follow us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Lockdown Birds, at DiBiase, LOE, and at GC24_football. You can find Lockdown Eagles 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, on all podcast platforms, on YouTube as well. We thank you for making today's Lockdown Eagles and every day's Lockdown Eagles your first listen each and every day. Make sure your second listen is the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson, they give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for watching and listening. And let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.